epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things, as they also covet, neither become ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee. And they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Let us not covet evil things as they also coveted, neither become ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, throughout the ecclesiastical year, Holy Mother of the Church has chosen passages from different books of the Bible and united them as epistle and gospel in each Mass. At times, it may be more difficult to see why this particular epistle was chosen to be placed along with that particular gospel. Today's epistle and gospel, however, fit together like a hand in a glove. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, urging his converts in the city of Corinth not to fall back into their pagan ways. You see, these were recent converts, and they were still surrounded by their pagan neighbors, calling the Catholics back to their old haunts and ways. To help the Corinthians persevere, the apostle warns them of what happened to the Jews of the Old Testament. The Jews were the chosen people of God, the children of Abraham, and the believers in the one true religion at that time. God Almighty showered them with graces and wonders, revelations of the truths of the faith and visible protection so many times, and yet they often fell. St. Paul briefly lists three times recorded in Scripture that the Jews offended God, as well as the punishment God sent down upon them for their sin. First, while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, his Jewish brethren were in the valley below, making a statue of a golden calf and worshiping that statue as God. In the festivities celebrating their sinful idolatry, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. They practiced idolatry by giving into the basest of sins, lust and gluttony, to punish this atrocity committed while God was visibly visiting the Jews through Moses on Mount Sinai. 23,000 of these sinners were slain that day. The next story St. Paul so briefly mentions is when the Jews complained that Moses, and through him, God himself, led them into a desert to die for lack of food and water. This is a shocking complaint made when the Jews were miraculously fed by bread falling from heaven every day, and water had been provided even from the desert's barren rocks for them. That was not good enough for them, though, and so many blasphemed God, doubting his providence. And for this sin, a plague of snakes were sent upon the people, and many were killed from the snake bites. Lastly, St. Paul reminds the Corinthians of Kor and his followers. Kor rebelled against Moses, demanding he and his followers share in the priesthood, even though they were not called by God to it. For their disobedience, as St. Paul put it, they were destroyed by the destroyer. The earth opened under Kor and his followers and swallowed them alive. St. Paul recounts these events to warn the Corinthians, "He that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall." It is as if he said, "You have the faith like the Jews before you. You are followers of Christ now. Do not think falling into sin is a small matter. Your sins are worse in God's eyes because, like the Jews of old, you know better. Like them, you have the one true faith. More has been given to you, and so more devotion is expected from you. If you fall back into your past sins, it will be far more offensive to God and deserving of greater punishment." St. Paul goes even further, warning not just of their retribution, but reminding them of God's goodness as well. "For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it." God is with you, guarding and providing for you, St. Paul tells the Catholic Corinthians. "You Catholics are his chosen people, and as you follow him, he will be your shepherd." This epistle, my dear faithful, thus shows especially God's justice, rewarding the good while punishing the evil. But the gospel draws back the veil to reveal God's heart in giving that just punishment. When Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it. At this time in the life of our Lord, in this part of the gospel, our Savior's death on the cross drew near, and it would be here in his own city, Jerusalem. Here in the very heart of the nation, of his own chosen people, the city where they erected the temple in his honor, after keeping the faith through so much trial over so many hundreds of years. Right here, so soon, his own faithful would clamor for his blood. They will crucify their God and put him to death. The justice of God demands a punishment, and that punishment is the destruction of Jerusalem that will take place in 70 AD. It is a fitting punishment for the city that murdered their God. But while recounting it, how the Sacred Heart laments, weeping in sorrow, as he warns them, Thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee. Hear the sorrow of God in these just words. Today, my dear faithful, Holy Mother the Church gives us these two passages, like St. Paul warning the Corinthians in the epistle, to warn us as well of our duty. Like the Jews and the Corinthians, we have the one true faith. More has been given to us, and more will be expected. When we sin, we do it with eyes wide open, wounding the heart of our God. Like the Jews on Good Friday, we crucify our God with a new agony of sorrow. As one writer puts it, could God cease to be God? Could the divinity suffer and die? Sin is what would bring it about, so deeply is God wounded by it. But amidst these sorrowful passages of justice, my dear faithful, see the beauty in them. Even as they recount such fearful justice given to sinners, there is the heart of God filled with love and mercy for man. The evil of a single mortal sin is beyond our comprehension, but God loves us despite it all. The duty on our part, then, is to make a return of that love by avoiding sin and striving for virtue. We will all face temptation of many different kinds, but with God's grace and our efforts, we will overcome. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. We can always and every time persevere in the face of sin, and each time we do, it is a triumph, resounding in heaven before the throne of God Almighty. He looks upon our little hidden acts of virtue, and he says, here is my child, my son, my daughter, loving me. How can I help in my infinite goodness but redouble my graces? To persevere in this grace, then, we have to make use of the means of drawing God's grace down upon us. Attending Mass, going to confession, receiving Holy Communion, listening to sermons, reading holy books, these are all great means of drawing closer to God. However, above all others, prayer reigns as the highest. For what would doing any of these things without prayer really mean? Even attending the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, without praying, those would be an insult to God. So necessary is prayer that St. Alphonsus de Liguori wrote an entire book titled Prayer, the Great Means of Salvation and Perfection. The way to avoid sin, the way to grow in virtue, the way to persevere in God's grace is to live your life with and by and in prayer. In the practical order, this means two things. First, making the time for prayer in your daily life. Many of us have busy lives. We have many duties of various kinds and many distractions calling upon our attention. At times, we will feel tired or that we don't have time, or we may simply feel slothful and not attracted to prayer. No matter the circumstances, if we are to survive in sanctifying grace, we must turn to the Almighty and beg for His help. Every day, we will face new challenges, even if they are the same temptations we have had for years. Each day has time for virtue to be practiced and sin avoided, and thus we need every day God's grace to achieve the victory. Make time in your lives to speak to this infinite God who watches over you. Ask for His favors, for He will always answer you with the strength to carry on. But that also does require that you strive to pray well. Praying well does not mean you won't have distractions, or you won't feel tired, or even that you won't feel unattracted to prayer at times. Good prayer means striving to focus our minds on God and speak to Him in our hearts, despite all of that. As long as we turn away from distractions when we realize we have them, try to wake ourselves up when speaking to the infinite God, and give Him our attention, He will give His attention to us, to you, and to me. The infinite God will bend down from His throne in heaven to listen to our words, happily and joyfully. Just as He sorrows at the souls turning away from Him by sin, so He rejoices at souls turning to Him. Our God has given us a great gift in the one true faith, my dear faithful. Make use of this gift to draw closer to Him. His justice and mercy cannot help but reward you abundantly for all your efforts. After all, what more bountiful gift can He give than offering an eternity of happiness beholding His infinite goodness? He holds out now to you the means to obtain that reward. Strive then, my dear faithful. Look to your God. Speak to Him every day, and you will, with His grace, triumph in His eyes. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.